morning, everyone. Welcome again to church. My name is Leslie, and I'm one of the teaching pastors here. It's good to be with you here, as Peter described, on our sunny winter day. So thanks for joining us here again. And from my childhood, I have never enjoyed doctor visits. Apologies if you're a physician here, it's nothing personal, but I never have enjoyed going to the doctor, and especially when it came time to draw my blood. The thought of a needle going into my skin, into my veins, staying there for a period of time and taking blood out of my body just makes me very squeamish. And I've had to overcome that fear for a short period of time for my pregnancies to allow them to regularly check up on the baby to make sure everything was okay. But for the most part, I do not want to deal with blood. And just because, though, I don't like to deal with blood doesn't mean that I'm not fascinated by the power of blood. Recently, I was reading an article by a hematologist, and really, he was helping explain what is happening beneath the surface of our skin. You see, our body, inside of our body, there are 60,000 miles of blood vessels. 60,000 miles of this delivery system that's taking everything that our cell needs throughout our body, as well as bringing back harmful waste that could poison us. Our circulatory system is really the epitome of consistency. You see, every day our heart beats 100,000 times. And and over the course of an average lifespan, the heart is beating 2.5 billion times, pumping out 60 million gallons of blood. You see, virtually our bodies are dependent on this blood to supply our bodies with the nutrients that it needs and to protect us from harm and to heal our wounds. You know, it's no wonder that the Old Testament we read that the life of every creature is in the blood. The life is in the blood. You know, we probably understand that a little bit more today with science and the discoveries and knowing that every part of our cell, of our body, is dependent on these nutrients that come from the flow, the constant flow of blood. Our bodies, every cell within our body is reliant on this mobile tissue flowing through our body to protect us and give us what we need. Our bodies are dependent on the flow of the blood in our life. You know, in Scripture, we read about a lot of blood as well. And the Old Testament and the New Testament both, it's filled with a lot of blood. In fact, over 400 times blood is referenced in our Scriptures. In the Old Testament, we read about sacrifices, animals being killed, and we read about the sprinkling of blood and blood being poured out. In the New Testament, Jesus said that my disciples will eat my flesh and drink my blood. That's very strange. That's an odd request. These are odd practices. And if we do not take the time to understand the significance of the blood. Today we are beginning a teaching series where for the next few weeks we are talking about nothing but the blood. These weeks leading up to Easter, this Lenten season, we are focusing in on the life-giving blood of Jesus Christ. Today I want us to look at just two verses from the book of 1 Peter. If you have a Bible, I encourage you to turn there as well, but it's going to be here on the screens. We're looking at two verses from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. And we read, "For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect." Today, we want to discover what it means that we are redeemed by the blood of Jesus. What does it mean that we are redeemed? And so this is our focus point today that we can pull out from these two verses. And because of the blood of Jesus, there's three things. One, we are purchased. Secondly, we are prized. And then third, we are protected. Because of the blood of Jesus, we are purchased, we are prized, and we are protected. So the first one here, we are purchased. We notice in verse 18, we read again that you have been redeemed. You were redeemed. For us to understand these two verses better, we need to understand that word redeemed. The word redeemed means to buy back. There is a certain price that has to be paid. And so to be redeemed, you have to pay that certain price. Maybe you're more familiar with the other way in which this word in the Greek can be translated. It can also mean ransom. If you like action films or movies or TV shows, you might understand that a ransom is the price that must be paid in order to redeem someone back from a bondage, from captivity, or from slavery. You and I, we were born into slavery to sin. We were born into slavery and captivity and bondage to sin. Jesus said in John 8:34, he said, anyone who sins is a slave to sin. That's you and me. Anyone who sins, that's me, that's you. We are caught up in these desires to pursue habits, sinful behaviors in our actions, in our thoughts, and in our words. That's you and me. We are slaves to sin. And so we stand in a marketplace of sin, and we have a desperate need to be redeemed, to be bought back, to have a ransom price paid on our life so that we can be set free. You and I, we need to be redeemed. Continuing here in verse 18, it shows us what do we need to be redeemed from. If you look there, it says we need to be redeemed from the empty way of life. The empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors. You know, the life of sin. This life of doing what you want, when you want, how you want. This life of disobedience towards God. It is a cycle. It's one that we can't break, but it also is empty and meaningless and fills you with pursuits of things that do not ultimately satisfy the longings of your heart. It's an empty way of life. And it's hard, it's difficult, and we are unable to break free from that, from those habits and behaviors. You see, we need someone else to set us free. We need someone else to break the cycle. It can't be us. And what we see here is that we like these sinful habits so much, they continue from generation to generation to generation. It is a spiral. It is a cycle. We continue to read and see that this word redeemed, remember, it also can mean ransom. And the word ransom literally means, is defined as a means of loosening. A means of loosening. In order for us to be loosened from the grip of sin, the grip of empty and a futile way of life, in order for the chains to be loosened from our lives, we need to have the ransom that only Jesus can pay for us through his death on the cross, through his blood. The only way for us to be loosened is through the blood of Jesus Christ. If you've ever stood on a treadmill or got on a treadmill and felt like this feels like torture, you're not too far from the truth. You're actually right on what the treadmills were designed for. You see, back in Victorian England, treadmills were was a form of punishment for criminals. And so William Cubitt, and in order to reform criminals and kind of reduce crime, he created what was called the Everlasting Staircase. And back in 1818, and so prisoners would have to be forced to climb in a rotating inclined plane for the entirety of their day, almost the entirety of the day. And so all of their effort, all of their labor was really in vain. It was meaningless, meaningless work, meaningless pursuit, meaningless looking out and feeling like you're going somewhere but actually not hitting your mark. You see, you and I, we don't have to be chained to the treadmill of sin, of feeling like we have no choice. We have to just continue, just go with it, go with it, go with it. We can break free from it. We don't have to pay for the debt that we owe because of our sin. You see, we can be set free. We can be set free because of the ransom paid by Jesus, who broke the chains from having to walk in this meaningless life, this empty way of life, pursuing things that don't bring satisfaction. You see, because you and I have been purchased. We have been purchased by the blood of Jesus. Jesus purchased us, but at the cost of himself. Jesus purchased us, but at the cost of himself. It was the price of his own blood. It was a costly ransom that he paid for you and for me, which leads us to here to our second point. Not only are we purchased because of the blood, but secondly, we are prized because of the blood. We are prized. Notice here in verse 18, as we continue, it says that you were redeemed, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus. You were redeemed not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. You see, our freedom, it cannot be bought with anything here on this earth. Our freedom cannot be obtained through money, through silver, through gold. It only comes through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Our redemption is only through the blood. You know, silver and gold is probably some of the most valuable metals, precious metals here on our earth. But here Peter is saying that the most valuable or most precious thing that you have here on the earth is actually insufficient. It's insufficient to the need that you have. You see, the need that we have to break free from sin, from guilt, from shame, cannot be obtained through anything on this earth, whether money or good behavior, good works, good thinking, this psychological mantra. You can't build up enough things here on this earth to break you free from the power of sin in your life. It only comes through the blood of Jesus Christ. There's nothing here on this earth. Everything here is insufficient to the need that you and I have. You see, it's the blood of Jesus Christ. It's only through the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus shows us just how valuable we are to God. You know, it describes here in verse 18, the blood of Jesus Christ is precious. It's the precious blood of Christ. This word precious means very costly, valued, and honored. You know, we are prized by God. We are loved so much. We are of significant worth to God that he sent his one and only son and gave his very life. And so it's only through the blood of Jesus that we can be redeemed. God didn't just throw some money at it, throw some money to purchase our freedom. No, he gave his very life. He gave his very life for you and for me. And that shows just how precious I am to God. It shows just how precious you are to God, just how prized you are to him. We are prized, and we see that through the blood of Jesus Christ. If you've ever read the book, The Hunger Games, or seen the movie, you know that the plot revolves around a horrible contest with young representatives from 12 futuristic districts. And the way in which you win the Hunger Games is for you to be basically the last one standing. And so that forces contestants to kill off one another and in order for you to stay alive. And so as the authorities go to the different districts to select these young representatives to participate in the contest, they go to the different districts and select one boy and one girl, and they arrive at District 12. And one of the names pulled from the bowl there, the name of the girl to represent District 12 in the 74th annual Hunger Games, is Primrose Everdeen. And as the authorities lead Prim off to prepare for the contest, in the crowd is her older sister, Katniss. And as Prim is walking away, Katniss shouts out, "No! No, I volunteer! I volunteer as tribute." And in that moment, Katniss then becomes the representative for District 12. You know, Katniss provides a moving example of courage and sacrificial love. She, in a sense, gives her life for her sister. She, in a sense, gives her freedom in order for Prim to be set free. But it's also an understandable exchange. It's also an understandable substitution, one that I think each one of us hope that we would do for our younger sibling or our children or our spouse or our loved one. But you see, the redemption of God is so much different. Jesus gave his life. Jesus exchanged his life for people like the cowardly disciples, the ones who were going to betray him, the ones who were going to deny him. He gave his life for the spineless politicians, for the corrupt leaders of the day. He gave his life for guilty people like Barabbas. He gave his life for the criminals hanging on the cross beside him. Jesus gave his life for you and for me, people who are so caught up in what we want to do, how we want to do it. He gave his life for sinners like you and for me. That's the redemption of God. Do you see how prized you are by him? So prized, so loved that he not only died for you, he thought you were worth dying for. Jesus not only died for you, he thought you and I were worth dying for. We are prized, we are loved, and his precious blood shows just how loved you and I are to God. You know, we've been purchased, we are prized. And lastly here, we are protected. We are protected by the blood of Jesus. We read here in verse 19, it says that we've been redeemed, but by a lamb without blemish or defect. A lamb without blemish or defect. And for us to better understand this phrase, we actually need to jump back to Exodus chapter 12. And here in Exodus, we read about a beautiful story of redemption. One where the people of God, the Israelites, were held in captivity. They were held in slavery in the land of Egypt. But God had said, this is time now, I'm going to release my people. I'm going to lead them out of slavery. And so there was through a series of plagues that God sent, he demonstrated that his authority, his power was greater than any human authority. And so this final plague that came upon the land was the killing of the firstborns in all of the land. But God gave a plan to his people, to God's people, the Israelites. He said, in order to not have this fate happen upon your house, this is what you need to do. You need to take a perfect lamb. A lamb without spot, a lamb without defect, a lamb without anything wrong with it, a perfect lamb, and you're to kill it. And you're to take the blood from the lamb, and you are to put its blood on the door frames, on the side and on the top of the frames. And this is what God said in verse 13, Exodus 12, 13. God said, "The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over. I will pass over you." You see, the blood the life of that perfect, spotless little lamb, was given in exchange for another. And as the death came over the land, it was the houses that had the blood on the doors that protected the lives within that house. It was the blood of the lamb that protected them from a death that was coming on the land. When Jesus walked here on this earth, we have recorded here in that John the Baptist, as he saw Jesus coming towards him, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." You see, Jesus was the perfect, spotless Lamb of God. There was no sin, no defect, nothing wrong with him. And it was his sacrifice. He is the one who gave up his life. His blood is what protects us from the death that we deserve. Protects us from the death that we deserve. The Apostle Paul says that in Romans 6:23, he says that the consequence or the wages, what you and I deserve because of sin, is death. That is what's coming towards us. There's a price to pay for our sin, and we have to pay it. It's a debt that's so great. But you see, because we are prized by God, because we are prized and loved by God, he purchased us with the death and the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ. And as a result, we are protected. We're protected from the punishment, the death, and destruction that each one of us deserves. Because of his precious blood, we have life. It was his life in exchange for our life. If you've ever wondered, like I have, why can't God just forgive our sins? Why can't God just forgive it and move on? Why does there have to be some kind of payment for sin? A month or so ago, I was in a fender bender accident, and there was a few marks and scratches on the back of my car, and I was surveying and looking at the damage done with the other driver who had hit me, and realized that the marks and the scratches weren't enough to call the police and to file a report. It was something that wasn't worth the effort. And so I turned to the driver, and I told her, "Don't worry about the damage. Don't worry about the damage. All's forgiven." Now, when I forgive the other driver, it doesn't mean all the damages go away. It doesn't mean that the cost of repairing the little dents on my car just go away. It means that I ate the cost, that I covered the cost. You see, the cross is God covering the cost of our sin. The cross, the death, the blood of Jesus is God eating the cost of our sin. And the cost of our sin is so much greater than the few scratches on the back of my car. But you see, and the driver may have deserved me to have her pay, but because of my forgiveness, I was able to protect her from that harm. And even more so, God's forgiveness, God's life protects us from the damage, from the what we deserve, the death that we deserve, the punishment that we deserve. God ate the cost of our sin and covered it with his own blood. He personally forgave the debt of our sin. Jesus exchanged his life for our life. He protected us. His blood redeemed us from the death that we deserved. But you see, what should cause within us is for us to want to live for the one who set us free. He purchased us. He prized us. He protects us. Now we need to live for the one who has set us free. I want to say today here that don't waste your life Don't waste your redeemed life pursuing sinful habits, sinful behaviors, things in this life that do not satisfy. Don't waste your redeemed life pursuing things that do not matter. On the other side, don't waste your life living as though God's forgiveness, God's blood, God's redemption is not enough to cover the wrong in your life. Living as though there's too much sin, too much shame, too much guilt, that his blood is not good enough. That's false. That's a lie. God's blood, Jesus has shed his own blood so that he could forgive the sin of anything that you have committed. He loves you. He prized you. He gave his own life for you to be redeemed. Now live for the one who has set you free. Don't waste your life. Live like you have and are redeemed. There's a legendary story involving Abraham Lincoln, which talked about Abraham Lincoln going down to the slave market and wanting to purchase a slave girl. And so as he stood there on looking at this one young lady, and she looked out at Lincoln and assumed that he was like any other white man who was going to purchase her and use her for whatever means that he needed and to mistreat her. So as Lincoln bidded on this young lady, he won the bid. And as they walked away together, as Lincoln and his property walked away together, he turned to the young lady and he looked at her and he said, "My dear, you're free." She said, "Excuse me? What do you mean I'm free?" Lincoln said, "Just that. You're free." She said, "Does that mean I can say whatever I want to say?" He said, "Yes. Yes, my dear, you can say whatever you want to say." She said, "Does that mean I can be whatever I want to be?" He said, "Yes. Yes, my dear, you can be whatever you want to be." She said, "Does that mean I can go wherever I want to go?" He said, "Yes. Yes, you can go wherever you want to go." With tears streaming down her face, the young lady looked up to Lincoln and she said, "Well, I choose to go with you. I choose to go with you." You see, you and I, we stand trapped in the slavery of sin, unable to break free. There's nothing here on this earth that we could hope to pile up to loosen us from those chains. Nothing. Everything is insufficient except for the precious blood of Jesus Christ, who has set us free, who has redeemed us, bought us back to the one who loves us, made us, cherishes us. He's calling us. Go with him. You want to live a life of significance? Follow the one who has set you free. Say what he wants you to say. Be who he wants you to be. Go where he wants you to go. That's the redeemed life. It's a life that you will never regret. He's redeemed you with his own life. That's how loved you are. You are redeemed. Redeemed by the blood of the precious Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. I'd invite you now to close your eyes in an attitude of prayer and reflection. As you sit here today in the presence of God, I want to ask you, are you living redeemed? You know, the pendulum can go both ways. Are you living as though you can do whatever you want to and God does not have any say in my life? Don't waste your life like that. Can go the other way and say, I need to do a little bit more to pay for my sin. You don't need to do anything. The blood of Jesus Christ is sufficient for your sin, for my sin, has broken you free. Live redeemed. If you're here today and you've never placed your faith and your trust in the redemption of Jesus Christ, you can do so today. You know, you can be free from the empty way of living and instead turn and live your life for the one who has set you free, who laid down his life for your freedom. And so if that's your desire today, I want to lead you through a prayer. A prayer that it's not necessarily about the words that you say, it's the attitude of your heart. And so if you would like to accept Jesus's forgiveness in your life today, you can pray something like this. You can pray, "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. And there's nothing that I can do to save myself. I confess my complete helplessness to forgive my own sin. At this moment, I trust Christ alone as the one who took my sin when he died on the cross. And by faith, I accept you, Jesus, as my Redeemer, and receive the gift of salvation. Thank you for giving your life in place of mine. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen." Amen. If you're here today and you prayed along with me, you prayed and received the forgiveness, the redemption that Jesus is offering, you have the opportunity to live free, free from sin, free from shame, to live following the one who loves you so much. We would love to help you as you continue on your spiritual, your faith journey, and Peter will be out in the foyer. You can stop and talk with him. Our prayer team will be up here in the front. Come talk with me, or you can fill out on those that digital connect card that Peter talked about earlier. But we want to be able to walk alongside of you in this decision that you have. We all need each other. We all need each other. In fact, we can easily forget about the redeemed life that we've been called into, so much so that Jesus gave us a picture of what we should do, to continually remember his blood shed, his life given in exchange for ours. It's through the act of receiving the Lord's Supper, our communion. And so as you walked in today, you were able to pick up some of the elements. And so for a few moments, we're just going to focus on the redemption that Jesus has given to us through his precious blood. And so take a moment, reflect on these words, reflect on the grace and the mercy that's been extended to you. So let's listen now.